This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On KMOX.
Happy Monday evening. It's late night with Hancock and Kelly. Top of the evening to you, Mr. Hancock.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Glad. Go ahead, get it out of your system. We spent a little time together.
Oh, yeah. We sat a little pool.
Yeah. How'd it go?
I did all right.
Yeah. Two games in a row, you beat me.
Yeah, but I wasn't at the top of my game.
No, you weren't.
I was not.
I think it's the change in the weather.
Yeah, this cold, man. Where'd that come from?
I have no clue, but I woke up this morning and I, you know, opened my shades and I looked outside. I said, oh, that's a perfect day, you know. And
right?
I never checked the temperature, went out, got into my car and turned around and went right back in the house
Heck
to get
yeah.
a sweater.
It was cold.
Yeah, it was really silly cold.
And it's even colder and I got to walk the dog at 10:30 tonight.
Yeah, well, at least you've got all your routines down because you know how properly to maintain the dog on the walk. Because inevitably, you will get a bowel movement, correct?
Yeah, he'll poop.
Yeah, and which means you'll have to employ your tactic. Care to share with people what your tactic is?
Well, it's kind of I use the plastic bag with the 4 squares of paper towels because I don't want my hand to come in contact with even the groove feel of the poop.
See, but here's what I don't get about that. Because paper towels absorb moisture.
That's why I use 4 of them, big boy.
Yeah, no, it would need more than 4 for me. See,
there's a very short period of time. I'm onto that poop and into the bag within 2 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now I would want the plastic on my hand to grab it and then, you know, like that. But I understand you don't want the texture and the feel in your hand.
That's it. You know, and I'm fine with it. I'm haven't had a problem.
What does Gus think of these late night walks?
Oh, he likes them. He starts to think it's not going to happen, and he gets upset. You know, very smart, this dog.
Right.
And
except he thinks he's an Icelandic sheepdog.
Well, he does. I think
he's a mutt.
Beginning. Well, Michael. So, but I do think he likes my pace. I've been upping the pace on these walks.
Really?
Yes. You know, I have long strides.
Uh-huh.
My wife,
there's
I love
nothing long about your legs.
You have
a long torso.
No, my torso is nothing. I have no torso.
But you don't.
I'm all legs.
So you're? Do you think you've got big long strides?
I do have big.
You
long
keep strides. Up with the dog that way?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. You know,
does he pull you at all?
He'll try, but you know, look at
give him a little.
But actually, my health is great. I'm losing weight.
I'm proud of
these walks.
You're looking good.
Been eating a little better.
Well, you know what? When Georgianne gets better, why not just?
I'm going to keep
this routine.
Oh yeah, no, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah, keep
I'm
this
in.
Routine going. With
I mean,
the dog.
We'll go together, perhaps as a family.
Oh,
very nice bonding time.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you can kind of gossip about the neighbors.
Well, yeah.
When
yeah.
you see, honey, look over there.
Right.
That light's always on. Do mm-hmm. these people ever go to sleep?
Right.
You know, that kind of talk, right?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We have lovely neighbors. Love our neighbors.
So I had a buddy of mine got his hip replaced this week.
Ooh.
And so he's a single guy, not
yeah.
married.
Yeah.
And,
you're a single guy.
Yeah.
Not married.
And so he said to me, he says, hey, I need somebody to take me to my surgery.
A pal, a patient, yeah. Whatever they call it.
Right. And then, you know, I'm going to be back and then I should be better, you know, in the 24, 46, 48 hours. Would you mind hanging out with me? And I said, no, not at all. So I had the whole weekend. We hung out and watched sport. And
yeah.
He'd gotten his hip replaced. So I'm staying at his loft in downtown St. Louis, and he's got it's a big loft, big open space.
Right.
And he's got a bedroom, you know, in the backside of the loft, and then there's this, like, a big couch that rolls into a futon lays out to, like, a bed.
Yeah.
So I stayed there.
Slept on the futon.
So the first night we're there, John, he and I are up watching the baseball games and the hockey games
yeah,
and everything
yeah.
that's on, and finally he goes in, passes out, and so I'm decided, okay, I'm going to turn the lights out. So I go around the loft, and I'm clicking this light off and that light off and that light off, and there's one of these lamps that I guess it's about 4 feet tall, and it kind of bends, and it's very modern looking,
of course,
if you will, okay?
Yes, yes. And mid-century modern.
Right,
perhaps.
And LED lights, you know, those kind of bluish, kind of
yeah,
bright lights.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out how to turn this doggone thing off. I'm looking
no
everywhere for
yank?
The switch. I'm looking for the switch. I'm looking for the chain. So then I'm like, okay, oh, it's a touch lamp. Okay, I'll touch it. So I try to touch the lamp.
You
know how you touch a lamp
you
and the light will
and
come
the
on?
Light goes off.
No, it didn't go off.
The light did not go off.
So this is at like midnight when I had woken myself up because I'm now going to, you know, get to sleep, but I need to turn this light off. John, I literally spent 5 minutes trying to figure out how to turn off this lamp before I finally came to the conclusion of...
Unplug it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like the biggest idiot in the world. And I had spent 5 minutes, you know, you know how when you wake up from a sleep and you don't want that light to wake you up, but you have to go to the bathroom, and so you're kind of navigating the hall, so you kind of got your eyes squinted so that you don't get the full effect of
that.
The light?
Yeah.
Well, that's me. For the first 45 seconds, minute and a half of working with this lamp. After like 3 minutes, I'm standing there looking at this lamp thinking, I am not a dumb man. I can figure this out.
So how do you turn the lamp off? Surely you found out ultimately.
Well, it was a cheapo thing bought on Amazon. And so the next morning, when he comes out and we're having some coffee, I said, hey, I got to ask you a question. How do you turn that light off? He says, oh, it's the worst lamp in the world. You got to go over here, and just this one spot here, you have to hold your finger on it for 3 seconds, and then the light will go out. Well, it's no wonder I couldn't figure it out.
Well, no,
but
there's
I was
switching the
lamp. But now I'm wide awake at midnight, laying there for another hour, waiting to go back to sleep. When I should have just walked over immediately when I didn't see the clicker and the blah, 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 and unplugged the doggone thing.
You ever have one of those lamps that had the little wheel thing on it, on the cord?
Oh, yeah, where you could click it one, two, three times.
Yeah, you roll it, yeah.
I still have a lamp or two around that.
I haven't seen one of those
that.
In years.
Really?
Yeah, how's the patient doing, by the way?
He got the hip replacement. It's a piece of cake compared to the knee, apparently.
Oh, the knee is we're on week 5 of the knee.
Wow. That's a long recovery.
It's going to be a lot longer still. Although we did walk a few houses yesterday.
Nice.
Georgianne got, of course, she's very popular in the neighborhood because she walks the dog. And
everybody wants to come out and talk to her.
I mean, it's like walking with, you know, I don't know who, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Well, she's also like the neighborhood handyman.
I mean, everybody loves her.
Yeah, right.
Everybody loves her. And so, you know, everybody comes out, oh, it's so good to see you. I walk the dog every night. Nobody says bye-bye or boo to me.
Welcome to my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're discriminating against you and I.
Well,
I think people look at us and they think, you know what, I don't want to talk to them guys.
A couple of them were shocked that Georgianne was married. I don't spend a lot of time outside. But
you're an
now.
Inside guy.
I'm a neighbor. I'm an inside guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the dishes going, the laundry. I got the food. I've kept the
Here's
house
what
up
I don't
pretty,
get about
well.
Gus. Gus needs to be on these walks all the time.
Yeah.
But He's got that giant yard he can run around in. You guys have a big yard with a hill and the whole bit.
Yeah. Oh, but the walk is, you know, and he likes to smell and
Wants to sniff.
Yeah, and look who's coming around the corner and there's
but he doesn't like people, right? He barks at them.
No, he likes most people.
Well, most people. Why is the dog always barking at me?
Well, he likes most people.
So he doesn't like me.
Well, the dog can tell if you're a dog person.
Yeah.
And if you're not a dog person, you know.
No. And if you're not a dog person, dogs try extra hard to make you a dog person by coming up and putting their nose right in all your most important parts. They really do. They know it. They know it inside of them. And they're like, you know what will annoy the heck out of this guy is if I slobber all over his pants. You know, and that slobber that doesn't wash off that people have to deal with.
Gus is a very classy dog.
I guarantee you Gus would put a nice little white streak right on my blue pants.
He doesn't slobber, I'm telling you.
How does a dog not slobber?
The dog crosses
slobber?
His legs when he lays down.
John, I put pizza in front of you tonight. Is. You slobbered. That dog slobbers.
He does not slobber.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, Michael. Gracie, our first dog, slobbered.
Do we have the other John Hancock joining us tonight?
We have our sports insider coming up around the corner. We're going to talk about the worst trades in sports. That'll be kind of fun. PJ might even chime in on some of that. Found out there's a mascot out there making $650,000 a year. I'm in the wrong line of work. It's late night on Monday with Hancock and Kelly right here on KMOX. Sports insider John Hancock is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
The National Football League.
We are are joined by our NFL insider. He joins us on the celebrity guest line. He is none other than John Hancock Jr. Jr., how are you?
Hey now, how's it going, Michael?
Hey now, it's about 40 degrees here in St. Louis. It is absolutely frigid. It's got to be really cold up in the Windy City.
Oh yeah, it was in the 30s today, and I realized I made a big mistake leaving my winter coat at Senior's house. Gonna need to buy a new one before I'm back for Thanksgiving.
Well, Danny Warbucks, you're making all that money. I think he can handle it.
I thought you were gonna say you made a big mistake moving to Chicago, because there is no prettier city on the planet in the summertime than Chicago, but the winters are like a death march.
It is a death march, and speaking of death marches, the 27th person in my neighborhood was shot last night.
Oh, Lord.
Tripling the total from 2019.
That's terrible.
And this is River North.
Yeah. That's terrible. It's happening everywhere.
Be careful out there.
Yeah, be very careful. Don't be going out late at night. So, hey, it was a big weekend in the NFL, and probably no bigger game this season than what happened a couple hundred miles away from us over in Kansas City. The Chiefs and the Bills. The Chiefs came out on the short end of that final, but what a fabulous football game that was.
Yeah, that definitely was a great game. 24-20, a little bit lower scoring than I think a lot of people were expecting. But I think that's going to be what we're looking at for the AFC Championship. It was a big win for the Bills, but I wouldn't draw any conclusions too far out just based off of this game. I think the Chiefs are going to be able to rebound. Mahomes had a couple of uncharacteristic interceptions, but the Bills were able to get it done.
Yeah, but now for sure the AFC Championship will go through Buffalo, correct?
I think
Chiefs in Buffalo, that playoff game would take place there in Buffalo.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of coffee to brew between now and then, Michael.
Yeah, but it's going to go through
Buffalo. those are the two best teams in the AFC, I think. You concur?
Yeah, I think so. The Dolphins look like they were up there for a while, but we'll see how they look when Tua gets back. But without a doubt, the cream of the crop in the AFC. The AFC North, I don't know what's going on with the Ravens and Bengals there. Neither of them seem like they're up to the shape we've seen them in recent seasons.
No, Bengals don't have an O-line, and they really didn't improve over the offseason. I would be shocked if they went back to the Super Bowl. Over in the National Football Conference, the surprise team, without question, is the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, their schedule hasn't been that challenging, and I don't think it's going to get much more challenging. Do they run away with this thing?
Well, so the New York Football Giants, another surprise, one game behind them at 5-1, but I don't think they're going to be able to keep up this pace. But the Eagles, what they've done with Jalen Hurts has been really impressive. They're playing to his strengths. They're letting him get comfortable in that offense. He's able to, sling it around the field. They surrounded him with good weapons, exactly what you want from a young quarterback. And their coach Sirianni, he took a lot of heat. He had that really awful press conference when he came into the league, but he's seems to be more like a rah-rah guy, leaves the X's and O's with the coordinators, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, a couple of those surprises, and some surprises on the flip side, teams that are not coming together, as you might have thought, one of which is the Green Bay Packers. There's going to be a lot of really interesting and perhaps new teams in this postseason.
Yeah, definitely. And with the Packers, it just shows you how much the league has changed lately. Wide receivers are that's how you win in the NFL. They got rid of Devontae Adams, and Rodgers has struggled. He's got a bunch of rookies, and Lazard over there hasn't been able to make it work. And this is, I think, his 14th or second worst season, only to his rookie year in the NFL. And I don't know if he's got another bounce back in him.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't the only quarterback who had trouble. Tom Brady didn't have a great weekend either, did he?
No, he didn't. Did you see that clip of him yelling at the offensive lineman?
I don't blame him. They're going to get him killed.
Well, I mean, he takes Wednesdays off. He flies separately to the games, and then you can't yell at your team like that. I mean, I get that he's upset. He threw away his marriage to maybe win a division with the Bucs, but when he's not playing well, him yelling like that comes off as an old man just yelling to the kids to get off his lawn.
Well, he did give up his marriage for this, it looks like. And yeah. The other interesting thing is he was at Robert Kraft's wedding on Friday night and then flew back down for the game on Sunday. That can't be good for your
participation. Well, he took preseason off. And, look, He's whatever he is, 603 years old or whatever he was. 45?
He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Oh, whatever.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, you know, it's been a long... The league's been around a while. So, but my point is, especially at that advanced age, you've got to put the time in. I mean, look at Albert Pujols by comparison, who many people think is also 45 years old. but, I mean, he worked and worked and stayed at it. And I tell you what, it took him a couple of months to find the stroke, but he found his stroke. And I think, you know, Brady's not setting a good example on that ball club by not showing up, not being with the team. I think John makes a really good point. Worst team in football?
Worst team. I mean, there's a lot to choose from. The Panthers probably have to be number one. They're just not getting much done. They got an XFL quarterback starting for them now. I think they have to be the worst team. Jaguars not looking good either. Trevor Lawrence, I put him on fraud watch last week.
You did.
Didn't get it done against Matt Ryan and the hapless Colts.
Yeah, you did predict that.
Yeah, the Falcons are a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota. He was cooking, 3 touchdowns. 49ers, that was a bit of a shock. A lot of people thought Jimmy Garoppolo would be able to coast him to a 10-plus win season. They're sitting at 3-3. Fortunately, the Rams don't have they're not performing to the level we expected, so that division's still wide
half
open.
Half the league's at 3-3. I mean, the parity is incredible.
I think this next week is just an abysmal slate of NFL games. I don't know if I've ever seen anything worse.
Well, when was the last time two New York teams had winning records?
Yeah.
The Jets, for gosh sakes, have a winning record.
Yeah, I think it was like 2015 or 2016. It's been a while.
And what's up with these Thursday night games? You talk about a couple of stinker dogs, man. It seems like the Thursday night game is 1 week's worse than the next.
No, and coming up, we got the Saints, who are going to be probably starting Taysom Hill at quarterback against the Cardinals, and Cliff Kingsbury on the hot seat despite just getting extended after last season. That's going to be another doozy. And the highlight of that game is actually going to be Taylor Swift's preview of her album Midnights that drops that Friday morning.
Hey, can I tell you guys something? Like, I hate the Thursday night games too, because I think they've got terrible matchups.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pretty brilliant plan that the NFL has, because these are the dog games that if they were on Sunday, they couldn't attract any viewership. They couldn't even pay for the commercials. But now that they put them on Thursday night, we suckers, we all watch it. I'm watching it, and it's terrible football.
Exactly. You sell your trash to Bezos. You know, why not? Make a few million.
Yeah, right.
Probably a billion.
Before I let you go, I got to find out. I'm going to shift over to the sport that's so near and dear to all of our hearts, and that's baseball. Doesn't look like the Yankees are going to play tonight against the Guardians, that Game 5 decider. But the other three teams are known. Who wins the World Series, John Hancock?
Well, you know, the NLCS, I don't think anyone saw this coming, Phillies, Padres, but that's why you got to love playoff baseball. Two teams that got hot at the right time. I think the Phillies are able to get it done. Would be great to see Bryce Harper. He's already been in the league for 10 years, which is crazy. He just turned 30, but it would be great to see Bryce Harper play in a World Series. I think the Phillies take it there, and I don't know how you go against the Astros in the AL, and I think Dusty Baker gets it done. Astros over the Phillies in 6.
Dusty's never won the series, has he?
He hasn't, no.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. Well, as always, we appreciate your time. Stay safe out there in Chicago. Hope your day job's going well. That's John Hancock, our sports insider, joining us from Chicago, Illinois. When we come back, Michael, we're going to cover some of the worst trades ever made. I've got a couple of ones fresh on my mind. That's next. It's Hancock and Kelly late night on KMOX.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to late night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Well, thank you so much. Well, there we are. Thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX. It's Hancock and Kelly. We'll take you all the way up to 10 o'clock. We've got a full show for you. We still have What's Trending coming at you. We got Shawn Michael
Lyle
for his weekly visit.
One of my great segments. The guy is just fascinating, yeah. Shawn Michael. He comes to us from Hollywood, California.
Well, the guy who created Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
They say he's probably created more talent and found and exploited more talent than any other person in show business. Mm. I can't believe Shawn Michael got through his fingers and he wasn't able to nab him up.
Excellent point.
I mean, this guy's got a brush with everybody. He's So you're going to want to stick around for our talk with Shawn Michaels. So, John, I was reading this morning Harrison Bader, who I really liked. I got a chance to meet him a couple of times when he was in town here.
Yeah, nice guy seemed to
be. In fact, I met him down at Mardi Gras and hung out with him and had a couple of beers with him. A friend of mine became pals with him, so kind of liked him. And when he got traded, I thought, well, that really stinks, as somebody I knew. And, of course, we got the pitcher.
Jordan Montgomery.
Jordan Montgomery for him. And that whole trade, for all intents and purposes, seems to be kind of a tie, right? It's worked out for both teams.
Yeah, and that's the obviously that's the goal for a trade because you know, you don't steal players very often.
And I was sitting there thinking, well, what about the worst trades ever? Obviously, you know, the famous story about Babe Ruth being traded from Boston to New York for, what was it, a musical?
It was a musical, and it was money to finance a musical, basically.
Money to finance a musical, and it got me just thinking, what are the other worst trades in the world? And I thought, well, heck, my buddy knows sports.
Yeah, and this list I'm looking at, and this is a surprising one to me. This player just recently passed away. It was in the NBA, and it involved St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was the St. Louis Hawks.
Uh-huh.
They traded Bill Russell to the Boston Celtics.
Right.
For Easy Ed McCauley, and who lived in town until he passed away, and Cliff Hagin.
So the way I know Ed McCauley, first of all, I think he went to St. Louis University.
Yep, may well have.
And as a Catholic, he used to come once a year and speak for the development drive for the Catholic Church.
Right.
But Easy Ed, you know, he was with the St. Louis Spirits. I didn't realize he got traded St. Louis Hawks. I didn't realize Bill Russell was with us when we traded him for Easy Ed.
Yeah, Russell had to be very, very young, I would imagine, but one of the greatest players of all time, Bill Russell. He just passed away, I think, this year even. Number six.
Interesting that one of the guys on that list is also present in our political world today, and that's Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Herschel Walker.
He was traded from the Dallas Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson did that.
Yeah.
He traded Herschel Walker. He was at the height of his running back career with Dallas, traded him to Minnesota for, I mean, just a truckload.
Everybody. Five players, the first round draft pick, and six other draft choices. A total of 12 players.
And that's what allowed Dallas to build that team in the 90s that wound up winning three Super Bowls with Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of who the 100%. Tight end was there. The tight ends are always the key to those super teams.
Yeah.
You know, like this Kelsey over in Kansas City, he's just a superstar.
Quite good.
What was one of the worst Cardinal trades? Can you think of one?
Yeah, the one that I think was the worst. We traded Steve Carlton after the 1971 season to the Phillies, who were the last place team in the league. And we got Rick Wise, who was a good pitcher. He had thrown a no-hitter. But Rick Wise, you know, had a decent career. Steve Carlton had one of the greatest careers ever. Left-handed pitcher. He won 27 games in 1972 for the worst team in baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, he was responsible for darn near half of their victories. He was so dominant as a left-handed pitcher. He had the most amazing slider. And, you know, he was traded because Mr. Bush, Carlton wanted a $5,000 raise.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Bush said, trade him. We're going to trade him. And they did. And, you know, those Cardinals didn't win anything in the 70s. But they had some pretty good teams, particularly towards the early years of the 70s. Bob Gibson was on those teams. And if we would have had Bob Gibson and Steve Carlton pitching in those early 1970s.
We'd have 15 world championships.
Well, we'd have at least 12, sure. And, you know, so I think that's the worst one I ever saw. The best one, of course, was Lou Brock for Ernie Broglio. Broglio, you know, he was about at the end of the line. Nobody knew it at the time. And Lou Brock just was amazing.
Who'd we trade to get Ozzie?
Gary Templeton.
That's right.
He's the one that...
he gave the bird to the fans.
But Whitey had to pull him into the dugout. He was gone.
The next day, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I've heard Templeton interviewed a few times. He's really matured now.
Right.
And he went through some substance problems, and he's gotten all of that out of his system, and he's really a good guy.
Uh-huh.
And he was a good ball player.
Right.
You know, he had... he had 200 hits for the Cardinals, 100 from both sides of the plate. I mean, that's, you don't see that very often.
Well, what's the general gist of what he said? He regretted his departure from St. Louis?
Yeah, he did. And he knew when he did it that it was over, because, you know, St. Louis, that stuff doesn't play well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I feel like we got McGuire for a song, too, because I think he was at the end of his contract in Oakland. I think we almost rented him for half a year in the hopes that we could woo him to stick around.
Yeah. Let's see. I guess he's definitely on this list as I'm scrolling feverishly here.
I got it. It's right here. He was traded to the Cardinals for TJ Matthews.
Decent reliever.
Blake Stein.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Ludwig.
Pitcher, whose brother, Ryan Ludwig, went on to hit 30 home runs for the Cardinals years later. And that's who Eric Ludwig was. Yeah, none of those guys ever did much. Another trade involving here in St. Louis was the Rams acquiring Marshall Faulk for a second and a fifth-round draft pick. Think about that. Hall of Fame running back, powerful two-way player. Really, Marshall Faulk was the early prototype of the modern running back.
Right.
Pass catching out of the backfield, 2,000 yards from scrimmage a year. Really phenomenal talent. Two draft picks.
Yeah, so he was here for what, a year or so before Trent Green was going to be our quarterback and gets hurt.
He may have come the same year, 99. Yeah. May have been that same year.
And then there was the emergence of the greatest story maybe in the NFL history.
Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Hey, by the way, Matthew, I think this is the anniversary of the Pujols home run. We ought to play that on the next segment coming in.
The Houston playoff series.
Well, how did we get Albert? Just came up through our farm system, right?
Yeah, signed him, drafted him very low. I mean, it was in the 30-something round, I think. You know, and that was something else. And you know, part of you wishes he didn't leave for those 10 years.
Right.
But, I mean, he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's set for the rest of his life, which, you know, I'm happy about that. And he came back, which I never in a million years thought when Albert Pujols left that he would come back and play for the Cardinals. You know, he thought it would be really cool, but there was just no way it happened. And it wouldn't have happened without the designated hitter rule. Coming into effect this year. You wouldn't have signed him to play first base when you got Paul Goldschmidt.
I remember when the trade went down and people were like, how much money do you need, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that I had a problem with the fact that he went for the most money. I mean, he deserved to have the largest contract in baseball history at the time. The Cardinals weren't going to be able to afford to give it to him. He went to L.A. I'm sure he regrets it, you know, those 10 years. Would he have traded an extra $30 million for a couple more rings? Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. He was a very good teammate there. Mike Trout hated to see him go. When he got released, Mike Trout was very upset.
How can they have Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Shohei Ohtani, and still be so terrible?
Well, their pitching isn't very deep, and they've got too much money tied up in too few players, which is exactly the problem the Cardinals would have had. Had we signed, we wouldn't have been able to keep Wainwright and Yachty, for example.
Right.
Over the course, there's just not enough money in this town.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Well, thank you so much. Well, there we are. Thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX. It's Hancock and Kelly. We'll take you all the way up to 10 o'clock. We've got a full show for you. We still have What's Trending coming at you. We got Shawn Michael
Lyle
for his weekly visit.
One of my great segments. You know, he the guy is just fascinating, yeah. Shawn Michael. He comes to us from Hollywood, California.
Well, the guy who created Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
They say he's probably created more talent and found and exploited more talent than any other person in show business. Mm. I can't believe Shawn Michael got through his fingers and he wasn't able to nab him up.
Excellent point.
I mean, this guy's got a brush with everybody. He's so you're going to want to stick around for our talk with Shawn Michael. So, John, I was reading this morning Harrison Bader, who I really liked. I got a chance to meet him a couple of times when he was in town here.
Yeah, nice guy seemed to be.
In fact, I met him down at Mardi Gras and hung out with him and had a couple of beers with him. A friend of mine became pals with him, so kind of liked him. And when he got traded, I thought, well, that really stinks, as somebody I knew. And, of course, we got the pitcher.
Jordan Montgomery
for him. And that whole trade, for all intents and purposes, seems to be kind of a tie, right? It's worked out for both teams.
Yeah, and that's the goal for a trade because you don't steal players very often.
And I was sitting there thinking, well, what about the worst trades ever? Obviously, the famous story about Babe Ruth being traded from Boston to New York for a musical?
It was a musical, and it was money to finance a musical, basically.
Money to finance a musical. And it got me just thinking, what are the other worst trades in the world? And I thought, well, heck, my buddy knows sports.
Yeah, and this list I'm looking at, and this is a surprising one to me. This player just recently passed away. It was in the NBA, and it involved St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was the St. Louis Hawks.
Uh-huh.
They traded Bill Russell to the Boston Celtics.
Right.
For Easy Ed McCauley. And who lived in town until he passed away, and Cliff Hagin.
So the way I know Ed McCauley, first of all, I think he went to St. Louis University.
Yep, may well have.
And as a Catholic, he used to come once a year and speak for the development drive for the Catholic Church.
Right.
But Easy Ed, he was with the St. Louis Spirits. I didn't realize he got traded St. Louis Hawks. I didn't realize Bill Russell was with us. We traded him for Easy Ed.
Yeah, Russell had to be very, very young, I would imagine, but one of the greatest players of all time, Bill Russell. He just passed away, I think, this year even. Number six.
Interesting that one of the guys on that list is also present in our political world today, and that's Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Herschel Walker.
He was traded from the Dallas Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson did that.
Yeah.
He traded Herschel Walker. He was at the height of his running back career with Dallas, traded him to Minnesota for, just a truckload.
Everybody. Five players, the first round draft pick, and six other draft choices. A total of 12 players.
And that's what allowed Dallas to build that team in the 90s that wound up winning three Super Bowls with Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of who the 100%. Tight end was there. The tight ends are always the key to those super teams.
Yeah.
You know, like this Kelce over in Kansas City, he's just a superstar.
Quite good.
What was one of the worst Cardinal trades? Can you think of one?
Yeah, the one that I think was the worst. We traded Steve Carlton after the 1971 season to the Phillies, who were the last place team in the league. And we got Rick Wise, who was a good pitcher. He had thrown a no-hitter. But Rick Wise, you know, had a decent career. Steve Carlton had one of the greatest careers ever. Left-handed pitcher. He won 27 games in 1972 for the worst team in baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, he was responsible for darn near half of their victories. He was so dominant as a left-handed pitcher. He had the most amazing slider. And, you know, he was traded because Mr. Bush, Carlton wanted a $5,000 raise.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Bush said, trade him. We're going to trade him. And they did. And, you know, those Cardinals didn't win anything in the 70s. But they had some pretty good teams, particularly towards the early years of the 70s. Bob Gibson was on those teams. And if we would have had Bob Gibson and Steve Carlton pitching in those early 1970s,
we'd have 15 world championships.
Well, we'd have at least 12, for sure. And, you know, so I think that's the worst one I ever saw. The best one, of course, was Lou Brock for Ernie Broglio. Broglio, you know, he was about at the end of the line. Nobody knew it at the time. And Lou Brock just was amazing.
Who'd we trade to get Ozzy?
Gary Templeton.
That's right.
He's the one that...
he gave the bird to the fans.
But Whitey had to pull him into the dugout. He was gone.
The next day, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I've heard Templeton interviewed a few times. He's really matured now.
Right.
And he went through some substance problems, and he's gotten all of that out of his system, and he's really a good guy.
Uh-huh.
And he was a good ball player.
Right.
He had 200 hits for the Cardinals, 100 from both sides of the plate. I mean, that's, you don't see that very often.
Well, what's the general gist of what he said? He regretted his departure from St. Louis?
Yeah, he did. And he knew when he did it that it was over, because, you know, St. Louis, that stuff doesn't play well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I feel like we got McGuire for a song, too, because I think he was at the end of his contract in Oakland. I think we almost rented him for half a year in the hopes that we could woo him to stick around.
Yeah. Let's see. He's definitely on this list as I'm scrolling feverishly here.
I got it. It's right here. He was traded to the Cardinals for TJ Matthews.
Decent reliever.
Blake Stein.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Ludwig.
Pitcher whose brother, Ryan Ludwig, went on to hit 30 home runs for the Cardinals. Years later. And that's who Eric Ludwig was. Yeah, none of those guys ever did much. Another trade involving here in St. Louis was the Rams acquiring Marshall Faulk for a second and a fifth round draft pick. Think about that. Hall of Fame running back, powerful two-way player. Really, Marshall Faulk was the early prototype of the modern running back.
Right.
Pass catching out of the backfield, 2,000 yards from scrimmage a year. Really phenomenal talent. Two draft picks.
Yeah, so he was here for what, a year or so before Trent Green was going to be our quarterback and gets hurt.
He may have come that same year, 99. Yeah. May have been that same year.
And then there was the emergence of Kurt the greatest Warner. Story maybe in the NFL history.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing stuff.
Hey, by the way, Matthew, I think this is the anniversary of the Pujols home run. We ought to play that on the next segment coming in.
The Houston playoff series.
Well, how did we get Albert? Just came up through our farm system, right?
Yeah. Signed him, drafted him very low. Uh-huh. I mean, it was in the 30-something round, I think. You know? And that was something else. And, you know, in part of you wishes he didn't leave for those 10 years.
Right.
But, I mean, he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's set for the rest of his life, which, you know, I'm happy about that. And he came back, which I never in a million years thought when Albert Pujols left that he would come back and play for the Cardinals. You know, he thought it would be really cool, but there was just no way it happened. And it wouldn't have happened without the designated hitter rule coming into effect this year. You wouldn't have signed him to play first base. You got Paul Goldschmidt.
I remember when the trade went down and people were like, how much money do you need, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that I had a problem with the fact that he went for the most money. I mean, he deserved to have the largest contract in baseball history at the time. The Cardinals weren't going to be able to afford to give it to him. He went to L.A. I'm sure he regrets it, you know, those 10 years. Would he have traded an extra $30 million for a couple more rings? Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. He was a very good teammate there. Mike Trout hated to see him go. When he got released, Mike Trout was very upset.
How can they have Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Shohei Ohtani, and still be so terrible?
Well, their pitching isn't very deep, and they've got too much money tied up in too few players, which is exactly the problem the Cardinals would have had we signed. We wouldn't have been able to keep Wainwright and Yachty, for example.
Right.
Over the course, there's just not enough money in this town to afford all of that. And I think the Angels are running into a lot of the financial mismanagement. Artie Moreno's trying to sell the team now.
Is he?
Yeah. And
I thought they were owned by Disney, no?
Nope, Artie Moreno.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonder what a baseball team goes for these days.
A couple billion.
Really?
Yep. Yep, not a cheap investment.
No, but cheaper than football.
Cheaper than football. Yeah. But I'll tell you what else isn't cheap out there.
What's Michael. That?
These mascots.
Yeah.
They're making a
you
killing.
You think Fredbird's making a couple hundred K?
He's got to be doing all right.
Really? Just to sit around and put his beak over people's heads?
Yeah, but if you've been beaked by Fredbird, I mean, it's a cool experience.
Yeah? So, have you been beaked by Fredbird?
Fredbird has never beaked me. He has not, no.
Well, I've never been beaked by Fredbird. Yeah. I used to be afraid of him when I was a little kid.
Yeah, has he been around that long?
Yeah, whole life. I can't remember Fredbird. I remember Fredbird at the old stadium. Yeah, this would have been when Tommy Herr and those, because he had a, what do they call those, four-wheelers.
Yeah.
You remember he used to take a four-wheeler out there, or, you know, an ATV, and he'd haul around on the carpet there at the old Bush when I was a kid.
Yeah, I wonder how many Fredbirds there have been over the years.
Well, it's got to have been dozens, don't you think?
Well, I don't know what the average length of a mascot's career is, but we'll see what we can find out. We'll go to the research department here over the break, and when we come back, we're going to tell you what these mascots make, and you're all going to feel really crappy about your job. That's next.
And we're going to have that Albert Pujols home run when we come back.
Yeah, we are.
Right here.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Albert digs back in. Open stance, deep in the box. Bends at the knee. Holds it down on the end. Ligue is ready. With two on and two out, his 0-1 pitch. It's coming. One. There it is, baby. The Cardinals take the lead as Albert Pujols comes through in the pit. And the Redbirds lead this, baby, 5-4. What'd I tell you, folks? David Eckstein, the man. This could be a crushing blow to the Houston club. Albert Pujols, you talk about a most valuable player. How is that, baby? Woo! That thing left the ballpark in a hurry, a three-run home run, and the Cardinals lead 5-4.
One of the hardest balls I've ever seen hit.
I just remember how over the top I was, and then hearing the silence, because that was a loud stadium.
Yeah, very loud stadium.
What do they call it, the juice box or something? And they remember they used to zzz, that buzzing because they had the killer bees. Bagwell, Biggio, and all those guys. So they had the bees, the killer bees, and it was just silence. In fact, during COVID, Tom Ackerman did those happy hours, you know, where
the garage happy hours. Yeah,
and he interviewed Albert, and Albert talked about hitting that home run and going around second base. He could hear his cleats on the dirt.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, it was very, very silent. And, of course, the Cardinals went on to lose that series in 7 games, and the Astros went on and lost the World Series that year. But that was one of the most incredible home runs I have ever seen hit. And just too bad. You felt like after that happened, and it happened off of Brad Lidge, who was at the time one of the best closers in baseball.
Yeah.
You just felt like it was inevitable that the Cardinals were going to go, and it didn't happen.
It wasn't
magical, much like this year.
Wasn't the greatest home run you've witnessed, though. That has to be David Freese's home run to center field in Game 6, right?
Yeah, and a 7-15 for me, because I was 10 years old at the time, when Hank Aaron hit 7-15, one of the first or second games of the season in 74. That was the greatest home run. I mean,
were you all watching it at your house?
Oh, yeah. so much pressure on Henry Aaron going into that season and the whole offseason, what he had to endure with the racial slurs and just all of it. And people said and did some horrible things to him. And to see him put that ball over the left field fence, it was remarkable.
I don't remember it, obviously. I was a little kid. But
you weren't born yet.
Yeah, when was it?
74.
April. Yeah, I wasn't even born. So what, did they show it on national television that night? Yeah, or were they watching all of his games in the hope that he would break the home run record?
No, it was early in the season. I guess it was maybe a Saturday night. I can't remember the night. But it was nationally televised. Of course, that was back in the days where you had ABC, NBC, CBS. You know?
Right. And if the president was on, nothing was on.
Well, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, Henry Aaron, that was a great, great home run. So I'm looking at these.
Yeah, you stumbled upon an interesting story today.
So these mascots. Fred. You know, I like Fred Bird. I do.
Yeah, I don't mind him. He's Fred Bird the Red Bird.
He's entertaining.
Yeah.
Out there. And
what is the Blues mascot called?
Louie the...
He's a mouse, right?
No, he's a wolf.
He's a rat.
Polar bear.
He's a polar bear.
Louie is a polar bear? He looks like a rat.
Well, don't tell him that, Michael. It's
a polar bear would be white. It looks like a little rat, like a little mouse. Like
I thought he was a wolf, so what do I know?
Yeah, oh, all right.
So, but apparently, having dug a little more deeply
into it. A little research, did you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the average one of these guys makes about 60 grand a year. So that's, you know, it's not a bad living.
Yeah, right.
And seasonal
it's
work.
A lot of time in those costumes, and I bet you get hot in there.
Ooh, probably.
Can you imagine what it smells like?
But in the NBA... I didn't even know they had mascots in the NBA.
Yeah, you ever been to an NBA game?
Long time ago in San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
Rocky, the mountain lion.
Okay, he has to be with the Colorado
Denver
team.
Nuggets.
Yeah, there you go.
$625,000 a year, Rocky.
What's he do?
Banks.
Does he play? Is he on the practice squad?
Down in Atlanta, Harry the Hawk.
Uh-huh.
Harry the Hawk, $600,000 a year.
Wow. The Charlotte guy's got to be up there.
Not as much as you'd think.
Okay.
Benny the Bull, Chicago. $400,000 a year.
What are these guys doing?
Now we move down to Go the Gorilla with the Phoenix Suns, which is a really poor-looking costume, in my opinion.
Right.
$200,000.
Uh-huh.
And to your point, Michael, Hugo the Hornet, the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, how much he make?
He makes $100,000 a year.
He was the original one back when I was watching SportsCenter in college. They'd show the greatest dunks of the night. You know how they do that stuff sometimes. And they always had one from the Charlotte Hornets from their mascot. And he would run and then hit a trampoline and do somersaults and then slam the ball. So I guess that's why these guys are getting paid.
$500,000 a year.
I
could jump on a trampoline and make a basketball for $600,000.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
What do you think the ages of these guys are? Probably in their 30s, 20s.
I bet
20s.
They're conditioned athletes young people.
Yeah.
I watched I know what it was. This just came to me. Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
Uh-huh.
Fabulous program. It's on HBO.
Right.
And he did a story on a guy who designs mascots for a living. And this guy must be like the Stradivarius of mascots. Everybody goes to him, et cetera.
I don't think he did go the gorilla in Phoenix.
And the way he would come up with a mascot is he would come up with a backstory on the mascot before he came up with what the mascot would be.
Fascinating.
And then as a result, then this has grown. Now he's getting hired by all these sports teams throughout the world to invent mascots, and then he runs a mascot boot camp where these folks, guys and girls, get conditioned for whatever it is that they're going to do. And some mascots are, you know, just cheerleaders and run around and take pictures with kids, and other ones dunk basketballs or do high-flying tricks. And so this guy's got a whole deal going on.
Wow, and a whole industry out there for mascots.
Could you imagine? You just stumble into that job, you come up with a mascot someday, and the next thing you know, you're inventing them for everybody in the world.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I could do it. I could do a darn sight better job than the guy that works for the Phoenix Suns is all I can
do. Well, if you had to come up with a mascot for KMOX, let's put you right on the spot.
Moxie the Mouse. Uh-huh.
And what? Give us some of the features and the backstory on Moxie.
Well, Moxie's a mouse.
Born at Christmas time?
It's, 1926.
Uh-huh.
And, or 25.
Yeah.
And, Moxie, likes his cheese.
Does he have a special talent? Like, they say we have the 50,000-watt blowtorch. Does he, Does he have, like, powers to throw fire? Or,
no, he doesn't have powers. Okay. He's a mouse, Michael.
Oh, well, okay.
But he, you know, Moxie.
You
would...
thought that Louis the rat was a wolf.
Louis is apparently a polar bear, the Blues mascot.
I can't believe that.
But I digress. Moxie the mouse. So, she. I think I said he earlier, but it's a she.
Oh, it's a she.
Yeah. She's quite elderly. And she loves to listen to the radio.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize we ought to propose this to management.
Big ears with headphones in them.
Headphones on. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you remember your first recollection of listening to KMOX?
Well, we always had the radio on at home, and it was breakfast in the morning. You get up, and Rex Davis would be on and talking away, and. And then on days where I was off school or during the summer, I get to listen to the Jack Carney program. That was my favorite.
Right.
So that would have been back in the early 70s. And, of course, Cardinal baseball, always listened. Because, you know, back then, the games weren't on television.
Right. I
mean, very rarely.
Yeah.
So you really grew up with Harry Carey and Jack Buck. And that radio was in the garage when Dad was out there doing something. You'd have the ball game on. I loved listening to the game on radio. Always did.
Anybody who's into KMOX lore and, you know, how it's been around forever and the power that it has, John Grisham, a very popular novelist from Oxford, Mississippi, he wrote a book called A Painted House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story of that takes place in Arkansas. It's unlike any of his other, crime dramas. But it revolves around this family listening to Harry Carey and Jack Buck in the Cardinal
games.
How
cool is that?
And there's references to KMOX throughout it. And it's an excellent read. First of all, it's John Grisham. You'll
a Painted House. He is a talented writer.
He really is.
He's a little liberal for me, and he works it into his books a lot. But he's a very
a
talented
liberal.
Writer.
I've never taken any of his stuff to be political.
It's in there. It's subtle.
Subtle. What's wrong with being liberal?
No, nothing.
Liberals have made the world.
But I don't.
They kind of push the edge. They're the ones who've brought it. The Beatles were considered liberals.
Well, I'm a classical liberal myself.
Are you?
Yes.
What does he mean by that?
Well, I believe in limited government. Jeffersonian in that regard. Yeah. Next hour, Sean Michael Lyle. We've waited all week for this, and it never disappoints. We're going to find out what's trending in the world, and Evel Knievel. We'll talk about that poor guy. All that more coming your way right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
One, two.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Albert digs back in. Open stance, deep in the box. Bends at the knee. Holds it down on the end. Lig is ready. With two on and two out, is an 0-1 pitch. It's coming. Swing and a long one. There it is, baby. The Cardinals take the lead as Albert Pujols comes through in the pit. And the Redbirds lead this, baby, 5-4. What'd I tell you, folks? David Eckstein, the man. This could be a crushing blow to the Houston club. Albert Pujols, you talk about a most valuable player. How is that, baby? Woo! That thing left the ballpark in a hurry. A three-run home run, and the Cardinals lead 5-4.
One of the hardest balls I've ever seen hit.
I just remember how over the top I was, and then hearing... the silence, because that was a loud stadium.
Very loud stadium.
What do they call it? The juice box or something? And they remember they used to zzz, that buzzing because they had the killer bees. They had
Bagwell, Bergman,
Biggio, and all those guys. So they had the bees, the killer bees.
Yeah.
And it was just silence. In fact, during COVID, Tom Ackerman did those happy hours, you know, where
the garage
they would
happy hours.
Yeah, and he interviewed Albert, and Albert talked about hitting that home run and going around second base, he could hear his cleats on the dirt.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, it was very, very silent. And, of course, the Cardinals went on to lose that series in 7 games, and the Astros went on and lost the World Series that year. But that was one of the most incredible home runs I have ever seen hit. And just too bad. You felt like after that happened, and it happened off of Brad Lidge, who was at the time one of the best closers in baseball.
Yeah.
You just felt like it was inevitable that the Cardinals were going to go, and it didn't happen.
It wasn't
magical, much like this year.
Wasn't the greatest home run you've witnessed, though. That has to be David Freese's home run to center field in Game 6, right?
Yeah, and a 7-15 for me, because I was 10 years old at the time when Hank Aaron hit 7-15, one of the first or second games of the season in 74. That was the greatest home run. I mean,
were you all watching it at your house?
Oh, yeah. So much pressure on Henry Aaron going into that season and the whole offseason, what he had to endure with the racial slurs and just all of it. And people said and did some horrible things to him. And to see him put that ball over the left field fence, it was remarkable.
I don't remember it, obviously. I was a little kid, but
you weren't born yet.
Yeah, when was it?
74.
April. Yeah, I wasn't even born. So what, did they show it on national television that night, or were they watching all of his games in the hope that he would break the home run record?
No, it was early in the season. I guess it was maybe a Saturday night. I can't remember the night, but it was nationally televised. Of course, that was back in the days where you had ABC, NBC, CBS. You know?
Right. And if the president was on, nothing was on.
Well, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, Henry Aaron, that was a great, great home run. So I'm looking at these.
Yeah, you stumbled upon an interesting story today.
So these mascots.
Uh-huh.
You know, I like Fred Bird. I do.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
He's
Fred Bird the Red Bird.
He's entertaining.
Yeah.
Out there. And
what is the Blues mascot called?
Louis the.
He's a mouse, right?
No, he's a wolf.
He's a rat.
Polar bear.
He's a polar bear.
Louis is a polar bear? He looks like a rat.
Well, don't tell him that, Michael. It's
a polar bear would be white. It looks like a little rat, like a little mouse.
I thought he was a wolf. So what do I know?
Yeah. Oh, all right.
So, but apparently, having dug a little more deeply,
research, did you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the average one of these guys makes about $60,000 a year. So that's, you know, it's not a bad living.
Yeah, right.
And seasonal
work. A lot of time in those costumes, and I bet you get hot in there.
Ooh, probably.
Can you imagine what it smells like?
But in the NBA, I didn't even know they had mascots in the NBA.
Yeah, you ever been to an NBA game?
Long time ago in San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
Rocky the Mountain Lion.
Okay, he has to be with the Colorado team.
Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, there you go.
$625,000 a year, Rocky.
What's he do? Does he play? Is he on the practice squad?
Down in Atlanta, Harry the Hawk.
Uh-huh.
Harry the Hawk. $600,000 a year.
Wow. The Charlotte guy's got to be up there.
Not as much as you'd think.
Okay.
Benny the Bull, Chicago.
Chicago.
$400,000 a year.
What are these guys doing?
Now we move down to Go the Gorilla with the Phoenix Suns, which is a really poor looking costume, in my opinion.
Right.
$200,000.
Uh-huh.
And to your point, Michael, Hugo the Hornet, the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, how much he make?
He makes $100,000 a year.
He was the original one back when I was watching SportsCenter in college. They'd show the greatest dunks of the night. You know how they do that stuff sometimes. And they always had one from the Charlotte Hornets from their mascot. And he would run and then hit a trampoline and do somersaults and then slam the ball. So I guess that's why these guys are getting paid.
$500,000 a year.
I
could jump on a trampoline and make a basketball for $600,000.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
What do you think the ages of these guys are? Probably in their 30s, 20s.
I bet they're conditioned athletes young people.
Yeah.
I watched I know what it was. This just came to me. Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
Uh-huh.
Fabulous program. It's on HBO.
Right.
And he did a story on a guy who designs mascots for a living. And this guy must be like the Stradivarius of mascots. Everybody goes to him, et cetera.
I don't think he did Go the Gorilla in Phoenix.
The way he would come up with a mascot is he would come up with a backstory on the mascot before he came up with what the mascot would be.
Fascinating.
And then as a result, then this has grown. Now he's getting hired by all these sports teams throughout the world to invent mascots. And then he runs a mascot boot camp where these folks, guys and girls, get conditioned for whatever it is that they're going to do. And some mascots are, you know, just cheerleaders and run around and take pictures with kids. And other ones dunk basketballs or do high-flying tricks. And so this guy's got a whole deal going on.
Wow, and a whole industry out there for mascots.
Could you imagine? You just stumble into that job, you come up with a mascot someday, and the next thing you know, you're inventing them for everybody in the world.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I could do it. I could do a darn sight better job than the guy that works for the Phoenix Suns, is all I can say.
Well, if you had to come up with a mascot for KMOX,
yeah,
let's put you right on the spot.
Moxie the Mouse.
Moxie the Mouse.
Uh-huh.
And what? Give us some of the features and the backstory on Moxie.
Well, Moxie's a mouse.
Born at Christmas time?
It's, yeah, 1926.
Uh-huh.
And, or 25.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Moxie, you know, likes his cheese.
Does he have a special talent? Like, they say we have the 50,000-watt blowtorch. Does yeah. he, does he have, like, powers to throw fire? Or,
no, he doesn't have powers. Okay. He's a mouse, Michael.
Oh, well, okay.
But he, you know, Moxie.
You thought that Louis the rat was a wolf.
Louis apparently a polar bear, the Blues mascot.
I can't believe that.
But I digress. Moxie the mouse. So, she. I think I said he earlier, but it's a she.
Oh, it's a she.
Yeah. She's quite elderly. And she loves to listen to the radio.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize we. You know what? We ought to propose this to management.
Big ears with headphones in them.
Headphones on. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you remember your first recollection of listening to KMOX?
Well, we always had the radio on at home, and it was breakfast in the morning. You get up, and Rex Davis would be on and talking away, and. Then on days where I was off school or during the summer, I get to listen to the Jack Carney program. That was my favorite.
Right.
So that would have been back in the early 70s. And, of course, Cardinal Baseball always listened. Because, you know, back then, the games weren't on television.
Right.
I mean, very rarely.
Yeah.
So you really grew up with Harry Carey and Jack Buck. And that radio was in the garage when Dad was out there doing something. You'd have the ball game on. I loved listening to the game on radio. Always did.
Anybody who's into KMOX lore and, you know, how it's been around forever and the power that it has, John Grisham, a very popular novelist
yep.
from Oxford, Mississippi, he wrote a book called A Painted House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story of that takes place in Arkansas. It's unlike any of his other, you know, crime dramas. But it revolves around this family listening to Harry Carey and Jack Buck in the Cardinal
how cool
games.
Is that?
And there's references to KMOX throughout it. And it's an excellent read. It's first of all, it's John Grisham. You'll
a Painted love House. He is a talented writer.
He really is.
He's a little liberal for me, and he works it into his books a lot. But he's a very
a little
talented
liberal.
Writer.
I've never taken any of his stuff to be political.
It's in there. It's subtle.
Subtle. What's wrong with being liberal?
No, nothing.
Liberals have made the world.
But I don't
want to. They kind of push the edge. They're the ones who've brought it. The Beatles were considered liberals.
Well, I'm a classical liberal myself.
Are you?
Yes.
What does he mean by that?
Well, I believe in limited government. Jeffersonian in that regard. Yeah. Next hour, Sean Michael Lyle. We've waited all week for this, and it never disappoints. We're going to find out what's trending in the world, and Evel Knievel. We'll talk about that poor guy. All that and more coming your way right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated. But the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus. You must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.